Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God-man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. When you preach the gospel, you shouldn't be ashamed.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Wednesday afternoon, May the 26th. Time to do a little sermon review. It occurred to me during the break, it's been a long time since we've done a sermon review here on Issues Etc. Jeff came in during the break, said, remember to give them the sermon diagnostic, the three parts of how we listen and evaluate sermons here on Issues Etc. I scratched my head. I was thinking, I hope I can remember it when we come on the air. Even though I've done it for years and years and years now, I think I remember what it is. It's very simple. When you're listening to a sermon, what should you be listening for? Is this just about sitting at the pastor's feet, hearing whatever happens to be on his mind on that particular Sunday? Or should those who listen to Christian preaching expect, perhaps even demand, that they hear something, and something in particular? So what does the Bible say? The Bible says, starting with Jesus, it's always a good place to start, that he sends his disciples, ergo the whole church. And this, by the way, this command has not changed or been rescinded or amended by Jesus since he first gave it. He sends his disciples into the world to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. Not just repentance and the forgiveness of sins, but repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. So it stands to reason that if a pastor is going to preach what he calls a Christ-centered sermon, or even a Christian sermon, and Jesus commands that we preach these things, repentance and forgiveness, in his name, well, Jesus ought to be mentioned. You say, that sounds so simple. Well, it is simple. It's very simple. It's a wonder that more preachers don't do better at this. So how often is Jesus mentioned? Keep a simple running tally. That's part one. Keep a simple running tally of how often Jesus is mentioned. I'm not talking about generic references to God, but whenever you know that this is a specific reference to Jesus himself, make a little mark. Keep a running tally. See how many times a preacher mentions Jesus. But you can't stop there, because there are all sorts of sermons that mention Jesus all over the place. So you got to go on to part two. Part two is Jesus the subject of the verbs? You might ask, that's a peculiar thing to look for. That's kind of grammatical, isn't it? Well, of course it is. But grammar means stuff. That's why we have it. It actually communicates meaning. So if Jesus is the subject of the verbs in a sentence, it means he's the one driving the verbs. That's a term that I borrow from Dr. Norman Nagel. Jesus is the one driving the verbs if he is the subject of the verbs. He's the one doing the doing. There's a big difference between Jesus loves you and you love Jesus. In one case, we're talking about you, and in the other case, we're talking about Jesus. And if this is Christ-centered and all these things would be done in Jesus' name, then Jesus ought to be running the verbs. But you can't stop there. You do need to go on and say, what are those verbs? There are a lot of preachers out there who will preach a Jesus who helps you, who gives you an example, who coaches you through life, who stands on the sidelines rooting for you as you carry out the Christian life or walk the Christian walk or whatever it is, a Jesus who guides you. But these are the verbs of self-improvement and pop psychology, enabling, motivating, all those things. Look at the New Testament. Look at the verbs that are assigned to Jesus. This is a Jesus who lives for us, who is obedient unto the Father for us, who is without sin for us, who lays down his life for us, who dies, who rises again for us. Look for those verbs. In other words, when you ask, what are those verbs? You need to ask, are these the verbs that Scripture assigns to Jesus? So how often is Jesus mentioned? Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? And with that, let's review this sermon preached by Pastor Brian Wolfmiller of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Dear saints of God, the book of Acts opens with a question from the disciples to Jesus. They ask him, "Will you, Lord, at this time, restore the kingdom to Israel?" Acts chapter 1, verse 6. And Jesus answers, to paraphrase slightly, "You guys don't trouble about when these things will happen. Don't worry about the timing, the times and seasons which the Father has in His own hands. Don't worry about the when, worry about the what. And the kingdom will come," says Jesus, "when my Holy Spirit comes. He will give you power to be my witnesses, both here in Jerusalem and in Judea, and even to the end of the world." Jesus is teaching that His kingdom comes when His Spirit comes, and when the disciples preach the Word of God. This is precisely what we learned in the Catechism, remember? Thy kingdom come. What does this mean? The kingdom of God comes by itself without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may come among us also. And then this, how does God's kingdom come? God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. When the Holy Spirit comes, we hear and we believe and we live according to God's Word. And that is precisely what the kingdom of God is. Now, we normally use a different word when we talk about the kingdom of God. We normally say the word church. But this is precisely what the church is. It is the working of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to create and sustain faith in God and love for the neighbor. For apart from this work of the Holy Spirit, we would know nothing of Jesus and His love. We would have no clue about His death and His resurrection and His ascension to the right hand of God. We have this in the Large Catechism. Luther teaches about the work of the Holy Spirit. He says, "We could never attain to the knowledge of the grace and favor of the Father except through the Lord Christ, who is a mirror of the paternal heart, outside of whom we seem nothing but angry and terrible judge. But of Christ," Luther continues, "we could know nothing either, unless it had been revealed to us by the Holy Ghost." The love of God the Father for you would be locked in heaven if Jesus had not come down to us to show us the Father's love, to die as the atoning sacrifice in our place. But we could know nothing of this Jesus, nothing of His cross, nothing of His death and resurrection, nothing of His love and His blood and His mercy and His kingdom. We could know nothing of these things unless the Holy Spirit would teach them to us, would show them to us, would bring them to us. So the Holy Spirit inspired the apostles to write their eyewitness accounts of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit sees to it that His word is preached in every place and to every people. Notice, please, how the Holy Spirit doesn't just preach in Hebrew, but on Pentecost and from then on in every language of all of the people that were gathered for the festivities. Everyone heard, says the text, in their very own language, the marvelous works of God, the life and death and cross and resurrection of Jesus. So it is that the Holy Spirit has the task of taking this wonderful and yet humble historical event, the death and resurrection of Jesus, that happened in a far-off corner of the world in Jerusalem thousands of years ago. He has the task of taking this event and getting the news out. Spreading the gospel. Publishing the word of the cross into every ear and every heart, including yours. This, then, is the work of the Spirit. Even that we are Christians. That we have heard and believed the word of the cross, the promise that all our sins are forgiven. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that there is a church here, on this corner, on these two streets, that there is a font there, and an altar, and a Bible, and a pulpit, and that we, with joyful hearts, gather to sing the praises of Him who called us out of darkness and into the light of the kingdom of His Son. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. For, and dear saints, this is the point, the Feast of Pentecost continues every year, every week, every day.
We'll come back to this sermon preached by Pastor Brian Wolf Miller for Pentecost at Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, reviewing it during this hour of Issues, Etc. this Wednesday afternoon, May the 26th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Now, you will notice that Pastor Wolf Miller has equated the kingdom of God with the Holy Spirit bringing us Jesus. In fact, this is just what Jesus tells us the Holy Spirit will do. The Spirit is all about Jesus, not about Himself. Kind of goes with our theme of evaluating this sermon. The Spirit is there, as Jesus says, to testify of Him, to take what is Jesus's and give it to us. In fact, more than that, to take Jesus and give Him to us. When we come back, more sermon review. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, going through a sermon on this Wednesday afternoon, preached by Pastor Brian Wolf Miller on the occasion of the Pentecost. And he's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. Now, our diagnostic is simple. How often is Jesus mentioned? Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? On Pentecost, the church remembers the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want you to listen carefully because you might say, well, so far he's talked a lot about the Holy Spirit, and then only by way of the Holy Spirit talked about Jesus. Some explanation does need to be given. There are many people who believe that to celebrate Pentecost is to celebrate the Holy Spirit himself. But if you've listened carefully to the first part of the sermon, you will quickly realize that to celebrate Pentecost is not to celebrate the Holy Spirit himself, but to celebrate the one whom the Holy Spirit has come to reveal to us through his word, and that is none other than Jesus himself. The Holy Spirit's job is to reveal Jesus to us. So this is another good way of thinking about that diagnostic when you listen to a sermon. Pastor will say, we've really got a Spirit-led message for you today. The Spirit's spoken to me, and I'm here to tell you what the Spirit's told me. Now, hopefully what he means by that is he's actually found what he's going to preach in the Bible, because that's how the Spirit speaks to anyone, pastors included. But you should listen carefully. If you hear a sermon about the Spirit or about you or about someone else, but not about Jesus, Spirit hasn't given him that message. The Spirit is there. Jesus is quite clear. The Spirit's one and only item on its job description is to reveal Jesus Christ to sinners for their salvation. That's the Spirit's job. So we go back to this sermon, Pastor Brian Wolf Miller at Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado.
The Holy Spirit continues to call, gather, enlighten, and sanctify the whole Christian church on earth and to keep it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. It is the Holy Spirit who in this Christian church daily forgives me and this, all my sins and the sins of all believers, and he keeps us till the last day. He will call us forth from the grave and give us the resurrection to life eternal. It's the Holy Spirit who takes the gifts of Jesus that he won on his cross and brings them to us. The blood and the mercy, the suffering and the forgiveness, all of this the Holy Spirit carries to us, to our ears and to our hearts, and brings to our souls salvation. Such is his proper work. And so it is fitting for us to give thanks to him, to the Holy Spirit, for our faith and for the word of forgiveness that he causes to be preached and heard and believed. And it is fitting for us to pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to work in our midst and he would keep us each until our last hour comes. It is fitting on this Pentecost that we would do these things. But we might ask, and this is especially for all you catechism students who are writing your last sermon notes today, we might ask, where is the law and the gospel in all of this? Well, here's the law. Perhaps the greatest temptation for us when it regards the Holy Spirit and to sin against him, the greatest temptation for us is that we take credit for his work. We really can't take credit for the work of Jesus. After all, it was thousands of years ago, long before most of you, anyways, were born. But the work of the Holy Spirit, my faith, my trust, my beginning at obedience and keeping the Lord's law, all of these we are tempted to claim as our own. As if being a Christian was a work of our will, our decision, or our choice, or something that we have done. Now, most of us probably don't think of this very much. What is the source of our faith in Christ? So the temptation manifests itself like this. When we look at the unbeliever and we see or feel or sense some sort of pride that we have done something to be a Christian, while they have failed to do something. That's your indicator that you are taking credit for the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I must be better than that pagan or holier than that heathen or whatever it is. That's the lie of the devil. To think that you had a part of your salvation, that you had a part in somehow bringing yourself to faith, this is to take credit for the work of the Holy Spirit, to steal his glory and, and claim it for ourselves. And incidentally, when we believe these lies, the devil has worked to steal away from us some of the wonderful comfort of the gospel. For if my faith is my work or my accomplishment or something that I've done, then who can be sure if they've done enough? Who of you, when your last hour comes, would not question if your faith is strong enough, if your faith can endure? And I will tell you right now that if your faith is your own work or your own decision or your own accomplishment, then it is not strong enough. It will not hold up under the assaults of sin and death and the devil. And when your last hour comes, your faith will be nothing. But look, dear saints, this is our comfort and our peace. This is the gospel, that our faith is not our own work. It's not our own accomplishment. It's not our own doing. Our faith in Jesus is the work of the Holy Spirit. And He stands behind His work. Lifetime guarantee. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ or come to Him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, He daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. And on the last day, He will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. This is what the Holy Spirit has done to you, in you, for you, and He continues to do. He brings to you the promise of the death of Jesus and the forgiveness of all of your sins, and He gives you faith to trust in that promise in life and in death, even to life eternal. Rejoice then, dear Christian, at being the object of the Holy Spirit's work, for you are the object of His love, His compassion, and His forgiveness, just as you are the object of the love and the life of the Father and the Son, who live together in eternal peace, world without end. Amen.
All right, there's the sermon from Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. I think it's necessary that we assign the Holy Spirit His proper place, because so many Christians today assign Him a place that He does not want and He does not occupy. The Holy Spirit is God, along with the Son and the Father. And the Holy Spirit is there to bring us Jesus Christ. This is what He has been sent to do. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do, never to draw attention to Himself. And it's good to give Him, put Him, allow Him to take His proper place as the revelator of Christ, as the one who through the Word brings the kingdom of God by bringing us Jesus Christ and all that He has done for us at the cross. The problem with putting all our attention on the Spirit per se and not on the one that He brings to us through His Word is that we thwart the work of the Spirit. The Spirit's work is to show us Christ, to take from Christ and give to us, to testify of Christ. And when we fixate upon the Spirit Himself, we focus on the wrong one. Our salvation is worked by Jesus Christ and delivered by His Holy Spirit. And when we're listening to the Spirit, we are hearing of Christ. When we listen to what the Spirit has to say through His Word, Jesus tells us, "These are the Scriptures that testify of Me." We don't need to go looking around wondering where the Holy Spirit might be doing His work. All we have to do is open our ears and listen and hear exactly what the Spirit is saying through his word. Jesus tells us the Spirit, when he speaks, will bring all these things to your remembrance. He will take what is mine and give it to you. So if you're sitting in church on this Sunday and you hear a sermon about the Holy Spirit or about you or about something else, you're not hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Perhaps your pastor isn't even preaching what the Holy Spirit has to say. Listen for Jesus. And where you hear Jesus crucified and risen for you, clearly testified of, then you are hearing what the Spirit has to say. And he does this for our comfort, to make us children, to work faith, so that we might believe in this Jesus and receive the life that he has won for us at the cross. It's all his work, from beginning to end. In the second hour of the program, Brigitte Gabriel will join us. We'll talk about a proposed mosque near Ground Zero, and then we'll continue our series on man's failed attempts to reach God today, rationalism. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.